الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في كلامه المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وقال تعالى ألف لام ميم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم صدق الله العظيم اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي الحمد لله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this chance again to sit and reflect and think about the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These names, although I mentioned this thing that these are tawqifi, which means that we cannot think about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our own mind. Whatever we found in Quran and Hadith, we cannot add anything to this, to those names. For example, when we find this name in Quran, Al-Shafi, the one who gives Shifa. So we cannot say that Allah is Tabib. We cannot add this thing. So these names are Tawqifi because we cannot understand the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned in the last session as well, that the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not limited to only these, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not only limited to these names which we find in Quran and Hadith. These are those which we can relate according to our weak intellect. So in the last session we discussed the two names, Al-Muhyi and Al-Mumit, the one who gives the life and the one who takes the life, the one who gives the death. And we also discussed the concept of Tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The names which we are going to discuss today are somewhat connected to these two names which we discussed yesterday. So Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. When you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Muhyi, the one who gives life, so this also means that the one who is giving life to everyone, definitely, and he's also giving death to everyone, then he should be living in all the times. So he is Al-Hayy, ever living. There is no ibtida, there is no intiha, no starting point, no ending point. And Al-Qayyum, he's all sustaining. The verse I mentioned in the khutbah is the first verse of Surah Ali Imran. Now this is connected to this part of the world where we are living, which is on papers, or like as we know that this is the Christian majority country. And these first verses, first 90 almost verses of Ali Imran, talk about the Christianity. And these two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are mentioned in the very first verse, in the very first part of Surah Al-Imran, have something to relate with Christianity. Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. How is that? That Christians, they believe that Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, Son of God, and then they also believe that he was crucified. So what happened, that some Christians from the area Najran, they came and Rasulullah was giving them dawah, and they had some questions regarding Islam. So when their group came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these verses of Surah Ali Imran, And it started with Allah, Alif Lam Mim, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. In the very first part of the surah, Allah is denying their aqidah. That you say, Isa alayhi salam is the son of God. And then you also believe he was crucified. So what kind of God he is? And definitely you also believe that he was given birth. You believe that Maryam alayhi salam gave birth to Isa alayhi salam. So this also shows that Muhyi is someone else. Al-Hayy al-Qayyum. So Hayy is connected with the birth, like with the Aqidah of the birth of Isa alayhi salam. That this Al-Hayy is mentioning, is explaining that your Aqidah, the Aqidah of Christians regarding Isa alayhi salam, is a false Aqidah. And Al-Qayyum, and then you believe that he was crucified as well. This is the belief of us Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him to heavens and he'll come back, and then there'll be a day when he will die. But Al-Qayyum means, inshallah we'll talk about the explanation and definition of Al-Qayyum. Ulama have mentioned different explanations. All sustaining, the one who is qaim bi nafsihi. So one who's dying or who was crucified or killed, how can he be al-qayyum? So these two sifati names, everywhere in Quran when you see the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is some connection with the context. So what is definition of al-hayy? Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned Al-Hayyu fi nafsihi alladhi la yamutu abadan. The ever-living one who is eternal in itself and never dies. This is Al-Hayy. And what impact it has when we believe on this, these attributes, or we recite these names, inshallah we'll discuss later on. Regarding Al-Qayyum, there are four different kinds of definitions we can find. Which ulama have mentioned. Number one, Al-Qayyum Hu Al-Qaim Ad-Daim Bila Zawal. This is mentioned by Imam Bayhaqi. The ever-enduring and self-sustaining one who stands forever Bila Zawal. There's no downfall, there's no Zawal in the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see when into our lives there are different stages, as even mentioned in Quran, from childhood to young age to adulthood, and then we get old. And when a child is born, he's weak, in his weak state, then he learns how to walk, how to talk. So with time he gets into the young age. And then there comes a time which is where he gets Kamal. Some mention that this is the age of 40 years, where even Anbiya get their Nubuwa and the Prophethood. And then a stage comes when he starts losing his power. But this is not happening with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ad-Daim Bila Zawal. Another definition of Al-Qayyum mentioned by some ulama is Wal-Mudabbir Wal-Mutawalli Bijami'i Ma Yajri Fil-Alam. He's the one who regulates. The first one was the self-sustaining one. The second meaning is he's the one who regulates and oversees everything that happens in this universe. When a person is believing in this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this means that whatever kind of issue he has in his life, he will connect to him. The one who regulates everything, the one who oversees everything, then definitely he's overseeing my issues as well. Another definition mentioned by Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah is that Al-Qayyum min qama ay al-qaimu bi tadbiri ma khalaqa. And this is from the fail qama, which means that the self-sustaining and all-sustaining who upholds and manages all of his creation. Then there's another definition. قال السعدي الحي القيوم كامل الحياة. The Sa'di said that Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum means the one who has the perfect life. وَالْقَائِمُ بِنَفْسِهِ Al-Qayyum لِأَهْلِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So both things are in this Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that number one, قَائِمُ بِنَفْسِهِ, he does not need anyone else for his sustenance. But at the same time, everyone is dependent on him for their sustenance. He's self-sustaining, and al-qayyum li ahli samawati wal ard, and he's taking care of the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth. Al-qaimu bi tadbirihim wa arzaqihim wa jami' ahwalihim, he's managing their affairs, providing for them and overseeing all their conditions. الحي جامع لصفات الذات القيوم جامع لصفات الأفعال. So this الحي encompasses the attributes of the ذات of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and القيوم encompasses the attributes of his action. This is like the كلامي مباحث that are these صفات الأفعال or صفات الذات. We'll not go into the detail here. Al-Hayyan Al-Qayyum. And we find that multiple times in Quran and Hadith, these two names are coming together. Al-Hayyan Al-Qayyum. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions in a narration that on the day of Badr, I was looking at where Rasulullah s.a.w. is, and I found out that he is in the state of sajda, and he is continuously using these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dua. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. There's a dua mentioned in hadith. It's a very famous one. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. O living, O self-sustaining, O sustainer, in your mercy do I seek relief. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that whenever a matter would distress Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would recite this dua, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. So ulama have mentioned that this dua is a very good remedy for those who are deprived of sleep. Those who have sleep issues, they cannot sleep, they should recite this dua, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. And this dua is also a cure for every kind of worry. Any issue comes in life, we should make a routine that we should recite this dua. Because when we are believing and reminding ourselves that Allah is Al-Qayyum, He is taking care of all the issues of every single one, then He will also take care of my issues. This belief will help in staying away from the depression. Allama ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentioned this, that whoever recites consecutively for 40 days between the sunnah and the fard of fajr, between the sunnah and the fard of fajr for continuous 40 days, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum La Ilaha Illa Anta Bi Rahmatika Astaghith, what will be the result? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep his heart alive, and it will be saved from the spiritual death of the heart. Whoever does this for 40 days between fajr, between the sunnah and the fard of fajr, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum La ilaha illa anta Bi rahmatika astaghith. We can all recite once inshallah together to memorize this inshallah. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum La ilaha illa anta Bi rahmatika astaghith. So what will happen? What will be the result? That his qalb will be alive. Because this belief will get strong that he's Al-Hayy and he's Al-Qayyum. A person who deeply reflect on these names will finish all his hopes on others. And, Sufiya really trained their students to not have hopes from the makhluk. This is like the higher level of tawakkul. This is called ishraful nafs. For example, there was a sheikh. He was very hungry. So he saw one of his students coming. So he had this hope. Maybe he's bringing food for me. And that was true. He brought food for him. When he presented food, the sheikh mentioned, he said to him that, you know, when you were coming, I developed this hope that you are bringing food. So I cannot accept this gift at this moment, because I don't want to have hopes with the makhluk. Although he was hungry, the student was trained by the same sheikh, so he said, okay, Hazrat, I can take this away. He left, and after a few minutes, he came back again. He said, Hazrat, now I hope your hopes were not there anymore. He said, yes, that's true. So he said, now accept my gift. So he accepted that. So ulama really took care of, especially Sufiya, that they should not have hopes from the others. Now, Qimul Umma Mawlana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahimahullah, he explained this, that definitely we are human beings and we are weak. And sometimes these thoughts come that shows that we have hope from others. How to check this? What is the litmus test? He mentioned that, for example, I'm going to someone's house and I'm expecting he will serve me in a special way. Or someone is coming to my house and I'm expecting he may bring some gift according to the urf and the custom of the time. So that, does it mean that I have hopes with the makhluk or not? So Sayyid has mentioned that if you have hopes and the things happen against the hope, and you still keep good connection with the same person, you don't think bad about them, why he did not bring the gift, why he did not serve me in this way. So if these negative thoughts are not coming, this means this is not against the sharaful nafs. This is fine. These are just random thoughts that came. That's not a problem. But if I am thinking negative about that person, some people literally take these things so serious. So why he did not say salam to me first? Why he did not write my name on RSVP of the wedding card? Literally, some people start fighting on these issues, small issues, because they have hopes with others. So this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reflection on these names will help in finishing all these hopes from the makhluk. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this dua to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Again, this dua has these two names. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illahu al-hayyu al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. And he mentioned that this is the narration of Musnad Ahmad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that whoever will recite this dua for three times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his sins, even if they are in kanat mithla zabad al bahr, they are equivalent to the foam of the ocean. When kanat mithla ramlin alijin, or they are equivalent to the particles of the sand. When kanat mithla adadi warq al shajar, and even if those sins are equivalent to the leaves, number of the leaves of the trees. Reciting these kalimat will lead to the forgiveness of all the sins. Definitely, these are the minor sins. For major sins, we have to make tawbah, we have to make this intention that I will not do it again. And if it is connected with the any rights of others, then we have to pay that along with the tawbah. So, astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Let's recite this once, inshallah. Astaghfirullah alladhi لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. So according to the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, if we have made this intention, all the sins are forgiven, even if they are equivalent to the number of the leaves of the trees, or the particles of the sand, or the foam of the ocean. Subhanallah. Rasulullah mentioned this to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, according to the narration of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. Okay, I did some mistake. So the first one which I mentioned, this was his routine when he used to go to his bed, the dua which we just recited three times. And then he mentioned that whoever does this will be forgiven. What he said to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala is mentioned in this hadith, that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لفاطمة رضي الله عنها ما يمنعك أن تسمعي ما أوصيك به أن تقولي إذا أصبحت وإذا أمسيت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث أصلح لشاني كله ولا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. So he mentioned this to his daughter فاطمة رضي الله تعالى عنها, that you should recite this dua when you start your day and at the and the time of evening. Every morning and every evening you should recite this dua. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Birahmatika Astaghees Aslih Li Sha'ni Kullahu. Because we just mentioned that, we discussed that Qayyum means the one who is taking care of every issue of the makhluk. So Aslih Li Sha'ni Kullahu, please make every single matter of my life good. Aslih. Wala takilni la nafsi tarfata ayn. Subhanallah, what a beautiful dua it is. It is mentioned in Mustadrak lil Hakim, Kitab al Dua wa Takbir. So these duas which we recite in the morning and the evening, and we find in the books, we should make this habit of making these duas. Sometime shaitan comes and whispers that, oh, I'm not even understanding the meaning of it, or I'm not feeling it. So what is the benefit? So Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahimahullah mentioned in his last days, so our teacher used to discuss this story in this way, that when these ulama and mashaykh, the last days of their life are very precious. Makkhan nikal kar aata hai, you know, they are just sharing the gems from the experience of their lives. And all their students and disciples, they're sitting to get even a single thing which they can come out of their mouth so they can note it down. So in that time, when the students of Hazrat Gangohi were around him to even note down every single thing which he says, with this hope that this will be a gem. So he mentioned that, I'll say the words in Urdu which he mentioned, then I'll translate inshaAllah. Allah ka naam jitni bhi betawajjuhi se liya jaye wo asar kiye baghair nahi rehta. If we are taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any consciousness, still it is giving some benefit. At least your tongue is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm not saying that this is the ideal stage, but this is not worthless. Inshallah, time will come that our, along with the tongue, our qalb will also be doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to some ulama, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum is Ismi Azam. It is mentioned in the hadith that whoever makes dua by using Ismi Azam, his dua will get accepted. Now ulama have then discussed that, what is Ismi Azam? What is that name? So some of them has mentioned that this is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. So the ruling is that there are multiple names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are in this category of Ismi Azam. Our Shaykh mentions that actually when dua, we make dua and we use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any name can become Ismi Azam if the feeling and the kaifiyah is there. If the kayfiya is there, I'm fully connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while making this dua, that dua, that, and I'm taking his names from Asmaul Husna, that name will become Ismi Azam. So there's a very wrong concept. We find this in the modern times. People say, we are self-made. We are self-made. Or I want to be self-made. Someone, his father is helping him with some investment. No, I don't want. I want to be self-made. So this self-made is against this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Qayyum. He's taking care of everyone. He's the sustainer of all. How can I say I'm self-made? How did you come in this world? Every single time of hunger and every single time of that we feel thirsty, this is the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reminder that you are weak. You are dependent on other things. Even when you're fasting, we need suhoor and iftar. We cannot stay away from the food and a drink for 24 hours. This is our weakness. So every single time when I'm feeling hungry or thirsty, there is a message that you are weak. And Allah is Al-Qayyum. He does not need any help for his living, for his sustenance. And we are dependent on his blessings for every single second of our life. We cannot even breathe without the air. So how can we say we are self-made? In every, this is what like Qarun mentioned, that I earned this money from my power. Mu'minun, what do? They attribute everything, they connect everything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do shukr. That I was not capable of this, Allah gave me these abilities. And that is the reason that I was able to earn money, to earn some status, to get a house or whatever, to get a degree. He's always shakir. So these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should help us in, they help us if we recite them with inshallah, with the intention, in correcting our aqidah. Because such statements sometimes go against the tawakkul and the aqidah and the concepts mentioned in Quran and Hadith, self-made. So, and it also leads to kibr and ujab. Ujab, there's a difference between kibr and ujab. Kibr means that when a person thinks others are lesser than me, and ujab means self-appraising, self-admiring. So both things are spiritual diseases. We should not confuse this with confidence. For example, if a person has some skill, so he should be confident on that skill, but what should be the way he should feel that I'm skillful? That should be with the feeling of shukr. That Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me with this skill. It's not my personal kamal. So he's aware of his skill. At the same time, he is showing gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when a person will be in ujab, he'll think that I am someone. This is the difference between a believer and the one who is lacking kamal in his iman. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this tawfiq to understand these sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the better understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and better connection with Him. May Allah allow us to use these names in our daily life, in our du'as. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His blessings and His tajalli, the tajalli of His blessings on us. Every day and every night. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are spending our last moments on this earth, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that the last kalimat that comes out of our tongue are La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I think the breakfast is ready there, so you should go there. One thing that whenever we come in the masjid, we have some time, maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and the iqamah is going to start. You should not even waste that time. Like, we usually take out our phones and start spending time there. You can like use these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as zikr. Ya hayyu ya qayyum. We can do one tasbih. We are coming to masjid on our car. Just do this test while going back, that how many tasbihat you can recite just on one way from masjid to home or home to masjid. And then reflect that how much time do we waste. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq for this. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.